Siman Kuf Aleph is about Chaticho Yidus Kavit. In the Shulchan Aruch here, in Siman Kuf Aleph, Kuf Aleph, Kuf Beis, and Kuf Yod. Oh, Kuf Yod has a lot more than that. There are four Dvarim She'enim B'Telim, and three of them are the same principle. Siman Kuf is Birya. A piece that you could serve to honor someone with. Doesn't necessarily mean you honor someone like a king or something, just things like to give a guest and to treat him honorably. And Siman Kuf Yod is a davar choshev because you count each and every one of them. We'll get to Kuf Yod in time, but these are parallel. Kuf Aleph and Kuf Yod are things that are not batel because they are a davar choshev. And again, we'll remind ourselves many times, the time of these things could be batal, time of a birya, time of a chatzilus kabbidi, batal b'shishal, like any time. We mean the be'en is not batal. Truth is, there is a machlok rishon. If you notice the Beis Yosef, the Rif seems to be very makel. Doesn't say it, but basically he doesn't say and say that, no, we don't answer these chatzilus kabbid, unless it's also in Isra Ana, but we totally reject that shita. And then if you look at Rashi there in the end of Buddha Zara, he's a different shot. For Lamaisa, we say, like the Machaber starts out, Fatih Hori Liskave Dino Kibirio Da Filu Be'elef Lo Batla. The Fatih Hori Liskave is like a birya in that it's choshev and it is never bato. Now, all the Rishonim had one question on the concept of Fatih Hori Liskave. Let's take a classic example, right? Fatih Hori Liskave is a steak. I don't think it has to be a steak. L'chor, it could be a hamburger, or it could be a fish, or it could be a quarter of chicken. Stomach not an eighth. Or probably even a hot dog. Let's say I have one treif hamburger, right? One treif hamburger and 1,000 kosher hamburgers, right? So you say the treif hamburger is not bought, it was right in this cabinet. You could serve it to an honored guest. So all the Rishonim had a kasha. What do you mean you can serve it to a guest? It's treif. You can't serve it to a guest. I mean, that's mechabed someone serving treif, right? Someone comes over to my house, say, oh, here's a treif hamburger. So, and of course, what you answer, you can serve it to a goyish guest, but that's not true, because what about Isur Hana, right? Bas v'chalav, there Isur Hana, chatil v'lis kabit is not batel. You can't serve it to a guest, it's Asur Hana. So what is it, v'lis kabit? So, the truth is that there's one answer which doesn't come up in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ra'ah and the Ritva. Say, don't take it so davka. Say, it doesn't mean this piece you could serve a guest. It means a piece this size you could serve a guest. I don't mean this piece is usher, but a piece like this could be served to a guest honorably. That's realist kabbit. That's the, it seems to me to be a very pashup shot of the Ra'ah and the Ritva. However, the Mechaber says, like Tosos and the Rashba and most Rishonim, the Mechaber takes it literally. The Mechaber says, this piece you could serve to a guest. That's why it's Chashev. What do you mean this piece you could serve to a guest? What if it's Asur Ba'ana? You can't serve it to anyone. So the Mechaber answers, quoting Tosos, the Rush, the Ran, the Rashba, etc. V'afilu im hi Asur Ba'ana. Even if it's Asur Ba'ana and Taka, you can't serve it to any guest. Kavenship, this Vatel ha'isimu teres v'rilis kabeh. No, it's a chatich v'rilis kabeh. It's Chashev because after it's batel, you can serve it to a guest. We go by the soap, not by the tefillah. So that's what the Rishonim say. Again, we'll see a nafkamina, or a possible nafkamina, in half a second. Not like the other Ritva who said, don't take realist copy davka. It doesn't mean this piece is a realist copy. It means this size piece. No, the Rishonim and the most Rishonim Mechaber take Davka. This piece is realist kabed. You could serve it honorably to a guest. And that's why it's not batel. Oh, this piece is usher. The answer is no. We go by the end. If it were batel, it would be realist kabed. And that's why we call it realist kabed. What's a nafkamina? The nafkamina is the discussion. This is a big deal in all the Rishonim. And in many of the Achronim, the smaller ones on the page, but in the Pisli Tshuva, some Kandala brings down from a Noda Bihuda. What about a mixture where even after Bittul, it's not realist Kabe to a Jew? Right? What about even after Bittul, it's not Rivat Laskavi to a Jew? What would be an example of that? So one example of that would be, what if Basar B'Chalav got mixed with Nevela? And now you want to know if you can feed it to your dog. So even as Basar Sofas Linon, right? Even after it was Bittul, it still would be Rivat Laskavi to a Jew, because it would still be Nevela. Right? Even if it's Bittul, it's still Nevela, it's still Basar B'Chalav. Or the example that Yehuda brings down, what if you have one piece of Nevela gets mixed in with other pieces that still have the Chalav and the Gid Hanoshe that aren't ready to be served to a Jew? So even if it was Bittul, it wouldn't be Rivat Laskavi, because it's not ready to be served to a Jew until you do a whole dissection, a whole surgery on it. That's the Yehuda's Diyun, quoted in the Pesach Chuvus, have gotten valid. Similar Diyunim are all over the Nosei Kalim here. So it's an interesting nafkamina. They say, if, based on the Machaber again, we take Rivat Laskavi literally, when is it Choshev? If after Bittul you could serve it to a guest. What if after Bittul it's still Treif? Right? It's Basar B'Chalav into Nevela. But even after Bittul it would still be Treif. It just wouldn't be Basar B'Chalav. Or it's Nevela into pieces that have not yet been cleaned of the Gid and of the Gid Anasha, let's say. So even after Bittul, it would still not be servable to a guest until you did a whole surgery. So, would we say, now this depends what Laskavi means. This is a big machlok shonim achronim. Does Laskavi mean to serve to a Jewish guest? If Rivat Laskavi means serve to a Jewish guest, then this piece is Bittul, because even after it's Bittul, it's still not fit to serve to a Jewish guest. But if Rivat Laskavi means to serve to a Goyish guest, then after it's Bittul, it's really to serve to a Goyish guest. The Basar B'Chalav is Bittul and the Vela, it would be fit to serve to a Goyish guest. If the Vela gets Bittul in pieces with a Gid Anasha still in them, then they're all as is, without any effort, they're ready to serve to a Goyish guest. So, the Nod Bihuda says, I think we can be Mako. That's a question whether Kibbut Akum Shmei Kibbut or not. The Nod Bihuda says, he's not sure, he thinks we can be Mako that anything that's not Ro'oi to serve to a Jewish guest post Bittul is Bittul. Right? There we have one piece Basar B'Chalav, 100 pieces of Vela, or one piece of Vela, 100 pieces of Shchuta with the Gid Hanasha. In either of these cases, after Bittul, it's Re'uya Leskaved L'Goy, but Eina Re'uya Leskaved L'Yisrael. So if we say we only care about feeding Jews, then it should be Bittul. If we say we care about feeding Goyim, then it's Eino Bittul. The Nod Bihuda says he's not sure. He thinks we can be Mekel and go by the Jews. So he thinks we can say it's Bittul and go by the Jews and say, look, it's not Rivat Laskavi post Bittul to Jews, based on the Machaber. But since he's not sure, he says he's Vetzarfet to another Tzad L'Hakel. So he thinks he can be Mekel, but he adds one other Tzad L'Hakel just because he doesn't want to rely on this. This is a nafkamina of the Machaber. Again, since the Machaber takes Rivat Laskavi literally and says you need post Bittul that it should be Rivat Laskavi, then if you assume it means for Jews, then you have this kula. The Nod Bihuda wasn't 100% sure, so he said with another Tzad L'Hakel. The Rama continues. Va'afilos, that's the yesod of what the gedder of Rivat Laskavi means. The Rama continues. Va'afilo yinu surim akvidu rabbanan. Ein v'teila, this is subject to some theoretical question. That's what we assume. Just like by Biria, even by Nis, basically any rule that's not Bittul by Nisr Daraisa is not Bittul by Nisr Rabbanan. So it doesn't matter if it's a chaticha haru'uya leskaved of Nevela, or a chaticha haru'uya leskaved of... That's kind of meat that's also Rabbanan. I don't want to use that example. Or a chaticha haru'uya leskaved I don't want to use that example either. Gotta be a good example out there somewhere. What? No, because all of these are controversial. All of these are controversial. The
animal that was fenivalous.
Alright. Lo Mishnah. So it doesn't matter if the Katuria is copied, it's also Midrabban or also Midraisa. I mean, there are lots of examples, they're all controversial, so we'll see. Either way, it's not Bato. But there are Ma'az, being Musafik and Muriulis copied Olo, Azlina, Lakula, Ilusur, Midraisa. Right? If it's a Safik whether it's Muriulis copied or not, we already saw that by Birya. Safik, Birya, Safik, Lav, Birya is Lakula, because the whole rule of Birya and the potato is only Drabbanan. Safik, Muriulis copied. On a Safik, we get brought in three experts. One of them says Muriulis copied, one of them says it isn't, the third one isn't sure. Something really is copied, something ain't really is copied, is lakula, because the whole rule of chatik really is copied, lobato is only to Rabbanon. And we apply the same rules as Birya, that's the shaft mentioned cut and base. That, remember, if it's a suffix, whether it's treif, but it's definitely really is copied, that's a suffix, doraisa lachumra. But if it's vadai treif, the suffix, whether it's a nice sized piece or not, then we go lakula. It certainly is, that's Mefurish about five places in the middle sefer of the Siman. Yeah. The one other point I should point out about the Get of Rilas Kabed is a very, very important Sifkatan Beis in the Pesach Tshuva, quoting the Tshuvas Ma'ari HaLevi. I'm not exactly sure what Ma'ari HaLevi is, but it's a very important Ha'ara I should point out, that Rilas Kabed doesn't have to be top quality. That's what he says. He says, even a Nevela that, like, when we think of Nevela, we usually mean like, you know, like ShopRite meat, like they killed it in some humane slaughter fashion that's not the Jewish way. But even in Nevela, the animal might just drop dead, which is not top quality meat, or even, he says, a very skinny animal, a very sickly animal, even if it's not grade A meat, that's still realist copy. It doesn't have to be prime grill to be realist copy. It just means it's a piece of meat the size that you can be mechabit someone. Doesn't have to be top quality. And also, it doesn't have to be meat. I think that's pretty clear from the discussion of the Nosa Kalim, as we'll see in Sif Beis, that lav davka meat. There could be other things that are realist kabit also. It's just usually meat is what you're mechabit someone with. It could be fish. It could be other important meal foods. Now, I wouldn't say like a loaf of bread is a realist kabit. That's not like a mechabitic thing. But it lav davka has to be meat. Fish certainly would also qualify. There's also a chashim for the main course.
Getting back to a little bit later, but there's the definition. So if you're a vegetarian, so it's
time
of person, or does
not
the
mock
of the
Medina? A lechora, the society, not the individual. That's what it seems to be, yeah. But we'll get to it. What about a vegetarian? I don't know. I think we have to assume that our society considers vegetarians to not really know very much about good food. So, I think even those people who might have some aberration, in fact, the vegetarians stick to their principles, still think that they're making a big sacrifice for their principles, right? So it's not realist kabbid, and who knows? The guy stands up for his principles, and he never eats food that's realist kabbid. I think even many vegetarians might admit that, although you'd have to ask them. Okay, Viking. Base. Ein la din chatib ruilus kabed, very, very important. El in kain as isura machmas atzma. Kigon nevela ubasar b'chalam. So, the principle is very clear. Aval nesra machmas shigibla tami yisra lo hoyeba samach levatlo. Filim ishasover chatiham zans nevela. Ein la din chatib ruuya lehis kabed. And the Shach gives a very pashup shot explanation for this, that he says, it's only chatzichu rilis kabe if it's intrinsically usher. What's intrinsically usher? Basar v'chala. Nivela. Dog tame, right? That's another example we find in the Shach. These are intrinsically usher. Something's only usher because of a blias isser, right? If something is kosher meat that has a blia of lard, then that's not called rilis kabe. Why not? Why isn't that called realist kabet? Right, because if you have a piece of meat with a blia of lard, what's treif? The meat's not what's treif. The lard is what's treif. And the lard is not realist kabet. So anything that's only usher because of something else inside it, you say, well, the isser is what's inside it, and what's inside is not realist kabet. What do you have? A few molecules of lard that give taste to a piece of steak? Those few molecules of lard are not realist kabe. They don't even have mamushes. You know, and even if you could drain them out and actually catch them and solidify them, I mean, they'd be the size of a pea. The that's not called realist gavin. Rama brings another example of afilo chatichus no nimlecha b'telosh ain't dani sur machzatz rech machzadam blubo. Even like a piece of meat with the dam inside that was never salted. So that's not called realist kavit. Why? Because the meat's not usher. The blood inside is usher. The blood inside is certainly not realist kavit. So that's the basic principle. Only if, good way to remember it, only if that which is usher is realist kavit, is it considered chashav eino batel. But if the piece is realist kavit, but the isser inside is not realist kavit, that is not called chaticha or realist kavit. Now, of course, you'll say, well, doesn't Hanan make the piece itself intrinsically usher? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying here. That's why the Shulchan Aruch takes pains to say, even Laman Domer Hanan B'Shar Yisurin. That's why he's Mechavdim Basar B'Cholov and Shar Yisurin. By Basar B'Cholov, we say Hanan makes the piece intrinsically usher. If steak has a bli of milk, that turns intrinsically usher. Remember, back in Kezai, that was one of the two Nakaminas of whether the Vin Tomei with milk would be considered Basar B'Cholov or not, right? That's your favorite. And Hanan. The Bas B'Cholov makes it intrinsically usher. That's a real serious Hanan. But Hanan B'Shari Surin, even though we Ashkenazim hold Hanan B'Shari Surin, we've seen that it's Drabanan. We've seen that it's not a real intrinsic usher. First of all, it's only Drabanan. Well, that doesn't prove it's intrinsic. But we saw by the issue of Milz David L'Taima. Right? If you have salt that absorbs treif and it falls 1 into 60, it's batel. We don't say that the salt gives time. Say, no, it's no worse than that which it came from. Meaning, even though we hold Hanan B'Shari Surin, we don't say it's intrinsically usher. We treat it as all we measure it as if it's all usher, but it's not intrinsically usher, and therefore, maybe theoretically, there could have been a shita otherwise. But we say that it's not intrinsically usher B'Shari Surin, and therefore, we don't say, the whole piece is now intrinsically usher. It's Hatichas Deveila. So it's intrinsically usher, it's Ruilis Kavim. We say, no. We treat it all as usher when we measure b'shishim, but it's not really intrinsically usher. Really, only the isser in it is usher, and the isser inside it is not realist kavit.
Were the yeshivos who said when we were discussing it, esher lahafido is mutter, like in cases by the meat on the other meat, and only giving the meat case that would be mutter? Would they say that chatur is kavit, the possible halal is not necessarily intrinsically usher for the next perspective?
No, they actually can't because it's a mafurish gemara. That Basar B'Cholov is Chatichah Realist Kavei. That's in Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah, the second last Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. I think it's the second last Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. So they can't. They have to walk a very fine line and say, I mean, those people are very chashuv people, Rashba, Shabbat, and they have to walk the Taz. They have to walk a very fine line and say, it's intrinsically usher, but you could change it. It's intrinsically usher until you reverse it. It's a very fine line, but that's what they have to look. What can you do? I think now we're not going to. There's some interesting details here. There's some interesting details here about how to draw the line between intrinsically usher and not intrinsically usher. We're not going to analyze it now, but I'll just point you out to two interesting discussions. There's a noted Yehuda quoted the Pesach Tshuva Gimel and a few other people here who makes a good ha'ara. He says, if you have, let's say you have, I don't know exactly what his case is, but I'll, you have cake which has tam of meat and of milk. You don't call that intrinsically usher, even though it's basar b'cholov. Just means the meat and the milk make each other intrinsically usher. The dough just has a blia of meat and milk, and the dough is not intrinsically usher. It's very logical. You could have been mistaken. You could have thought, any basar b'cholov is intrinsically usher, realist kavet. He says, no. That means the meat and the milk become intrinsically usher. But if the meat is 1/60th, and the milk is 1/60th, and all the rest is cake, then the cake's not intrinsically usher. The cake just has a blia of basar b'cholov. That's a good ha'ara. And then, we already discussed this once, we're not going to get back into it, a very difficult issue, but Rabbi Kvi Eger and many other people here discussed whether Basar B'Cholov Durabbanan becomes intrinsically usher or not. We saw that at the end of Siman Pei Zayin, but that's, we're just mitzayin into it here. You can review from the end of Siman Pei Zayin, a big machlokas, is Basar B'Cholov Durabbanan also considered intrinsically usher, like Kavush, or not? Rabbi Kvi Eger mentions it, but we're not going to get into it. The interesting discussion here, before we get to the last line of the Ramah, is about Gvina, about treif cheese. Now, there are two machlokos about whether treif cheese is bottle, right? You have a big hunk of treif cheese, right? You have a big hunk of treif cheese that gets mixed in with similar-looking chatichos of kosher cheese. Right, so you want to know if it's batel or not. So maybe it's not, but maybe it's chatichu release kabin, or maybe not. What are the two halachic issues that we have to discuss, that the Taz debate discusses here? What are the two different questions we have to answer? A,
is cheese
real is kabin? Is cheese so important? Having nothing to do with halacha, just having to do with society. Is cheese so important? And B, is this treif cheese intrinsically usher or not? Right? You buy treif cheese in the store, is that intrinsically usher or not? Two different questions. It's only a problem if it's intrinsically usher and important. So, what do we do with these two issues? So, on the first issue, treif cheese. One, is it ru'uya lehiskabed? That's a machlokas between the marshal and the Taz. Marshal says no, Taz says yes. The marshal thinks that cheese, that's not real as copy. Meat is real as copy. Cheese, that's how you put cheese in something. And the Taz says no, you can sit down and eat the cheese. Cheese, it's actually more expensive than meat, I think. It's a very chashuv thing, cheese. So cheese is real as copy. I don't know, nowadays do we...
What is served on a piece of...
I don't know, for some reason nowadays, even though cheese is very expensive, I don't think we make it a main, you know...
Type of cheese would be like wine and cheese party.
There might be cheese and cheese, okay. Anyway, so that's, again, we'll see that you have to question how relevant this machlokas is, because everything is totally on the makom nizman, there's all of the machine I doubt, that's one machlokas. Right, no, I assume when he was the Maria Levy or whoever it was talking about cheap meat, he means you do serve it. Just, you know, middle class people serve this kind of meat, and upper class people serve that kind of meat. You know, and poor people just eat bread. In a chanami, if it's a kind of meat which you wouldn't, you know, like, everyone's been in yeshiva, right? You remember, we're on the topic day. Right, so that's going to be a big machlokes achronim, but I think we can all tell from what happens in yeshivas on public day that, okay. Anyway, Mike, second. Is it intrinsically usher? Is it intrinsically usher? So is treif cheese intrinsically usher or not? So, of course, this depends... This depends on why the cheese is treif, right? What kind of treif cheese is for sure intrinsically usher? Cheese made with made from treif milk. What kind of treif milk could cheese be made of? Don't answer. The treif milk could be milk of a treif species. No, it could be camel milk or pig milk because the Gemara says camel milk and pig milk doesn't become cheese. Again, I haven't done the research. That's what the Gemara says. So what kind of treif milk do you make cheese out of? Literally treif milk. Milk for a treif cow. You saw with your own eyes, I don't know, some guy came over with a gun and shot the cow through the stomach or the lung or whatever these things, and somehow it's hanging on for a little while, and you milk it. Mom is treif milk. You don't need any debates among poskim nowadays or statistics, etc. Mom is treif milk. So if you make cheese with mamish treif milk, that's a real escabeche. That's easy. If it's chol of treifa, then for sure, yes, that's intrinsically usher. Because it's mamish made of treif milk. The Tazim goes so far as to say if it's the taromas of chol of treifa, but I guess if the percentage of chol of treifa in there is enough, that even that percentage is kashya, it's a quarter chol of treifa, and even a quarter of this is still a nice-sized piece, that would be treif. If you have a big block of cheese, even if it's only quarter treif, so a quarter block of cheese is also real as copy. What type of milk in the end of treif cheese, in the end we decide in the end, do we decide is not realist kabed? Right, even though the Isra Heter, at least as he's quoting the Taz, seems to disagree with this, but if it's Hu Amad B'chol of Trefa, right, what does that mean? Means the rennet you used was from treif milk. If the rennet you used was from treif milk, then that's just a tarovest. There's a little treif milk in here. It's kosher milk, but Hu Amad, right? Cholav Shera, Shehu Amad B'cholav Trefa. That's not intrinsically usher. Yeah, the Isra Heter might not disagree. You know, I think Rav Shechter discussed this once, that maybe you could say anything was Hu Amad Trefa becomes totally a theft of Trefa. But the Shach says even he didn't mean that. Pash, if it was just that the enzyme was Trefa, then that's just the taromas of a Trefa enzyme. The milk itself is kosher. What's the Machlokas Shach and Taz? Whether it's an intrinsic Isra or not? What case is the Machlokas Shach and Taz? That's actually the relevant case if you would ask the Shiloh nowadays. Gvinas Akum. What about Gvinas Akum? Right, Gvinas Akum is a Gzeira Drabanan that maybe has a Tarobus of Treif. Right, the Gzeira Drabanan that maybe has a Tarobus of Treif. So how do we view Gvinas Akum? So, the Taz says, this is the Machlokes between the Taz and the Shach is in the Kudus HaKesef. There's no Shach al Atar, we discussed this. What's the Machlokes between the Shach and the Taz? The Taz says, Cholav Akum is not intrinsically Osir. Why? Because the whole reason they Osir is the Shash maybe has a Tarovis of trait. So the worst it is that it has a Tarovis of trait in it. But it's not intrinsically Osir. Just that really, it only has a 30% chance of Tarobus of Treif. The Rabbanan made Xavier and say, we'll view it as a 100% chance of Tarobus of Treif. So you can't say it's a Suffolk kisser. That's the top of its body. So it means the Rabbanan, instead of having a 30% chance of Treif, of Tarobus of Treif, we say there's 100% likely, means the Rabbanan, that we if you take the worst case scenario and say it's 100% likely that there's Treif milk in here. Okay, but it's still only Tarobus of Treif milk. It's not intrinsically usher. What did the Shach answer back? This is the Chakir, by the way, in all of Kofi Beis, Kofi Dimel, you know, all the Machlei Akum. What does the Shach answer back to the Taz? Why does he think it is intrinsically Yasser? Oh, it's Mefurs and Shas. They only Asher it because they were afraid it might have a Tarobus of Treif. So how could it being afraid of a Tarobus of Treif be worse than an actual Tarobus of Treif?
That's why they got that
Right, there it goes. There, a Gzeira is a Gzeira. Once they made the Gzeira, they made it a Chefta Shel Isser Midrabanan. The Shach and Taz are arguing about here about the Lumdus of Venus Akum. The Taz says, Chazal didn't make up a new Chetzah Shel Isser. They just said, assume the worst that there's a Tarobus of Treif. The Shach says, no. They made up a new Chetzah Shel Isser. They said, the reason we're worried is because there might be Tarobus of Treif. But what we're saying is a new Chetzah Shel Isser called Venus Akum. What's the marker that new Chetzah Shel Isser? The marker is the Rabbanan. So that's a big one, the Shmachlokas, and then you have the same Machlokas as the ones in Bishul Akum and Pasak, different answers. And the Chol of Akum, et cetera, right? This is the Machlokas between the Pre-Chadosh and the Chasam Sofer about Chol of Akum nowadays, right? This is just a Pshash, there is no Pshash. Where's the Chetzeshal? New Chetzeshal Isser. So it's a new Chetzeshal Isser. The Inkam Akum Laharich. Very, very important Machlokas. Halacha Lemaisa. We are Machmir. Like the Shach against the Taz. We are machmir that Gvinas Akum is a new Chetzah Shel Isser Midrabanan. It's not just that they're choshesh for Tarobus of Treif. They made up a new Chetzah Shel Isser, and now we say even if we're sure it has no Treif ingredients, even if Eliyahu came and told us there's no Treif ingredients, it's a Chetzah Shel Isser of Gvinas Akum. It's all intrinsically Treif. We're machmir like the Shah. Prima Gadim does say, think of the Michas Yaakov, that, well, Bitzera, the suffix with the realist kabbid, you can be makel. So we go l'chumra, that we say it's intrinsically usser. However, if you have two stun l'hakel, number one, the Taz thinks it's not intrinsically usser. Number two, the Marshal thinks it's not realist kabbid, then l'maisa, we can be makel on the Hefta Meruba, at least, he quotes. The Hefta Meruba, we can be makel, because we say, look, even if it is intrinsically usser, maybe it's not realist kabbid. Right, nowadays, it might even be much less realist copy. I don't know. It might depend.
So if it's not Hefta Meruba, is there anything that can nafkamina that that machlokas shachas plagues up?
The nafkamina is. What do you have to
say? No, meaning besides the hefsiru, of course, it's always going to be a shayla of ruilis kaviroso. You're always going to have to include that machlokas with the cheese.
Correct. You're always going to have to include that machlokas with the cheese.
That's always going to be. So, do we ever say.
I don't have a marker for that in the post. You have to ask. Maybe nowadays it would be different, you know. But in the post, the only clue I have is that if you put together this Taz, this Marshal, and Hefsa Maruba, the Prima Gunner's Mako, with two Spakos plus Hefsa Maruba. But Be'ikaron, we're Machmer on the Lumdus of Yusakum. Okay, one last line of the Ramah here for Se'if Beis. The Ramah ends with Kol Chatich Shlo Neser Rakdei Klifa Batla Darei Klifa in Rulis Kaved. The Nosek Hillel must say he's talking about even when it's intrinsically usher. Obviously, if there's a piece of steak and the Klifa is only usher because of a Bliya, of course that's not Rulis Kaved. What if the Klifa would be intrinsically usher, right? It came at the it became Basar B'Cholov. The Klifa is Basar B'Cholov intrinsically usher. Or, I don't know, for some reason you have some weird religion where you only makar the Klifa to a Vodazar and it's a Krovas Akum or something. So it's intrinsically usher. Right? I guess that would be an appropriate thing to do for a klipa anyway. If only the klipa is osur, then the Ramah says something which is really common sense. If only the klipa is osur, that's not called realist kabed, because the klipa is not realist kabed, it's too thin. Who would feed someone a klipa? So that's very logical. The Shach brings down, there's some people who argue, but he says, no, must be that no one can really argue in this Ramah. Must be if you have a piece that's so gigantic that even if you took off a klipa, that would be a serving, then taka, that would be a problem. And if I'm there, Ramah would admit, if you had not a steak, you had like a whole side of beef, and the klipa itself would be a delicious main course, then taka, that would be ruilis kavi. But in any normal, in a normal situation where you have a piece of meat, then the Shach says, the Rapash the Ramah is right, the klipa is not ruilis kavi. Okay, Pash, this is right. Yeah. I don't think it has to be as it's created. What? I think a hamburger is also realist kavod.
As long as it's the chaticha.
If the cholin meat, would that be a piece of
cholin meat? I don't think cholin meat is realist kavod.
That's not like enough.
So you put in the cholin, you don't serve it to people. I mean, you wouldn't. I'm not saying you wouldn't serve it like put it together with other things. I'm saying, like, it's not like, I don't think it's a chashid piece of meat.
People eat the cholin meat.
I think so. I mean, I'm not sure what you just said, but I think so. I put a chaticha meant a piece. Okay. Right. I think so. Yeah, I think chaticha would be any piece. I think even a hamburger is a chaticha. This is, by the way, a big chumra then. Like, when it comes to old bittul yavish b'yavish, right? Remember we said, min b'mino is barov. Min b'mino is barov, right? Everyone always uses the example. Like, one kosher, one treif steak and two kosher steaks. All those examples are wrong, because that's why I always try to use meatballs whenever I talk about bittul yavish b'yavish, because meatballs aren't really I don't mean like the Israeli meatballs when that's a whole, like, meal. I mean like American meatballs. Meatballs not realist kabbit, it's just a tiny little thing. So if you want to use examples of yavish b'yavish, you want to stick with meatballs. So when it comes to steaks or hot dogs or hamburgers or v'chuli, like, no real yavish don't apply, because the chatzir realist kabbit is not bottle. Unless you want to use the example of it's only came also through a bliya or something. So you just have to be careful in your examples and don't make a mistake, even though you'll go all around the world and hear people giving shiur and say, principles of yavish b'yavish are that if you have one treif steak and two kosher steaks and they get mixed up, the rashba and the rush and all these things that we're going to see later in Simon Koftes and b'chulei, all kinds of lumdas, realize all the examples are lies. If it's actually steaks, that's a two realist kavi. It's not bottle. There's no lumdus of a rashba and a rasha, whether it's nefach leheter or whether it's azlina basarov or all those other lumdus we'll get to. If you want to actually know the lumdus of yavish v'yavish, stick with meatballs. Okay. The gimel is, this is the big lemaisa dik machlok is about what's a chatichu realist kavi. The question is, again, we dealt with a few questions. What is Ruilis Kabi? Number one, the Machaber. What does Ruilis Kabi mean if it's treif? Answer, Ruilis Kabi. Afterwards, Machlog is whether it's Jew or to a guy. Does it have to be top quality meat? We answered no. What does it mean? When does it have to be Ruilis Kabi? Does it have to be Ruilis Kabi as is? Or does it have to be Ruilis Kabi in the future? What if you have something that's Ruilis Kabi, but you have to process it first? Right? What's the din then? Ruilis Kabi, after processing, right now I can't serve it to you. But after I process it, it will be delicious. And of course, there's many, many different madrigas of processing. Right? What's like sort of the easiest kind of processing to do? Cooking. What if it's raw? Not Ruilis Kabi now, but I can cook it. Then there are all kinds of madrigas above that. What if it's, you know, it's not only raw, but like you didn't cut the hooves off. Or forget about that, you didn't even take the skin off, or you didn't take the feathers off, or you didn't even chop it up with a whole cow, etc. What if it's alive? Right? So if it's alive, it doesn't matter. If it's Bali Chaim or not Batzel, which we'll get to in Simon Kuf Yud. But the how soon does it have to be Ruilis Kabi? And here we see four shitas in the Rishonim. Four shitas in the Rishonim about what is called Ruilis Kabi, and what is called excuse me, Eino Ruilis Kabi. If we take let's say the example of, right, here we have meat with the feathers, obviously feathers would be for ophos, or the hair. What do I mean by hair? There's certain parts of an animal where you do eat the skin, you just have to burn off the hair. Nowadays, we don't, but in those days, there are certain things where they would just burn off the hair, like when it was very thin skin. So what with the feathers or the hair, that needs a lot of preparation. We'll add to that in a second. Or what about a sort of lower level, right? With the hooves, right? That needs, I guess, a little less preparation because you don't have to start like doing whole complicated processes. It's not such a big tear. All you have to do is chop it off. Or the equivalent of this in Rishonim is, or with the blood, meaning not yet nimwach. Right, you have to salt it, which is a lower level of tircha preparation. Obviously, you only care about this if you assume that we only that kibbut of akum is not shvei kibbut. But in order for it to be right, it's kabbut b'yisrael, even after it, all would have to be salted. Or a lower madrega is meat that is raw. Or too big a piece to serve. Right, what if you have a side of beef? It's too big to serve, you need to cut it. That's obviously a much, much closer to the stage of being Ruilis Kabi. And, of course, you have meat ready to serve. So what's called Ruilis Kabi, and what's called Eino Ruilis Kabi? Who is the most makel shita? The most makel shita is the Rashba and the Ram. The Rashba and the Ram say that this is Ruilis Kabi, and this is Eino Ruilis Kabi. Even if it just needs to be cooked, it's just not cooked yet, or if it's just too large to serve, it's too big of a piece, that's called Eino Ruilis Kabi. That's a pretty big kula. They say Ruilis Kabi is only out of the oven onto the plate. Right? If you have, even if you have, let's say, a a whole big roast coming out of the oven, a big tremendous roast coming out of the oven, that's a Ruilis Kabi. Has to be cut, I think. The Ruilis Kabi means it's in the right size, and certainly if you have like a big, I don't know, side of beef or something, or if you have raw food is not Ruilis Kabi. For them, as long as the steaks are raw, then it's batel chad betray. One Shofar steak to glatmart steak, batel, as long as they're raw. That's most makel shita. The next most makel shita is the
Shari Dura. Bishem Gedolim, says some Gedolim.
Say? Some Gedolim say,
draw the line here, that even if it's raw, that's where you list copy. You just have to cook it. Or if it's too large to serve, that's really scabby. You just have to chop it up. But if it still needs to be salted, assuming like the coolest side of the view to suffer, or if it still needs to have the hooves chopped off, that's not really scabby. It says really scabby means the piece is ready. It just needs to be chopped, but it's still the piece. It just needs to be cooked, it's still the piece. But if you need to still take something out of it, that's not really scabby. The Rosh and Ron look at very Lamaisa. He looks at sort of the identity. The piece, is the piece ready? Doesn't have to have anything subtracted or added? That's called the realist copy. The next shita is the smack. And the Rabbeinu Tam is quoting the Shari Dura, who draws the line here. He says, even if it needs to have the hooves chopped off or be salted, that's realist copy because it's not a big tircha. But he admits that if it still has the feathers on the chicken, I don't know if anyone ever tried to defeather a chicken, it's not a small task. Or if it still has the hair on it, on some pieces of some things where they would burn the hair off, or then that's ain't a realis kavit. The most machmir shita is the rush. But the rush says everything is realis kavit. All the way down the line. Any piece of meat that has potential is realist kabi. So the Rush says, potential realist kabi, big machmer. Rabbi Natam and the Smak say, potential realist kabi without a big tircha is realist kabi. But if it still needs a big tircha, that's ain't a realist kabi. The Shari Dura in the Yesh Omer says, anything that's realist kabi as this piece just needs cutting or cooking, that's realist kabi. But if you have to take things out of it first, that's ain't a realist kabi. And the Rashba and the Ran say, only if it's mamish realist kabei basher husham. If it needs, even if all you have to do is stick it in the oven and press the button, that's not realist kabei. Those are the four shitas. Okay, how do we, how do we paskin? Let's see how we paskin. The Shulchan Aruch says, Tarnigoles binot sotzosh in his arvacheros betela. A chicken with the feathers that get mixed in is butel. Shari ein nor ru'uya lehiskadel fe'er orchin kemoshe higs. It's not ready to serve to guests as is. The afish option is arvacheros notes that even if later on you defeather it, it's still butel. And we'll see, the Ramah will agree to this. Now this is a very crucial point, and we have to point out a ha'ara made by the Radvaz, as quoting in the Piskei Tshuva, right? He says, let's take everyone agrees, everyone but the Russians make all the chicken and feathers. We are all make all chicken with feathers is butter, right? So if you have, let's say you're a sheikhet, and you have chickens freshly shefted with the feathers, you have 20 chickens, or 3 chickens, and then you realize that one of them is treif, right? You have to figure out exactly how you realize one of them is treif. I don't know. Chickens, I guess, sometimes they have treif in the lungs, although I think it's very, or whatever. I don't know. You cut open the chickens, you throw all the hearts on the floor, you just shefted 3 chickens, throw 3 hearts on the floor, and all of a sudden see one of those hearts has a hole straight through it. That chicken wasn't going to make it till Shabbos. That's treif. So one of these chickens is treif. Bottle's not realist kabed. Chad betray bottle. Yavish v'yavish bin b'mino. Bottle because it still has the feathers. Hold on. Before the guy eats it, he's going to take the feathers off. Right? Everyone, before you eat it, you're going to make a realist kabed, right? You're going to take the feathers off, and you're going to cut it, and you're going to cook it. All this. So, no problem. As long as the tarobes was chal, when it was ain't a realist kabed, and it's bottle, it stays bottle. Once bottle, stays bottle. But when do you say one bottle stays bottle? What factor might we have thought to bring up here? Maybe. When can we say once bottle stays bottle? As soon as it gets mixed up? Or, what's the other option? Anyone remember a concept? What's that called? What about no data? Is it, do we say, we have this grandfather clause. If it gets batel before it's realis kaved, it stays batel. So when do you get grandfathered? As when it gets mixed up, or only when you know the tarovis? So the Radbaz says, quoting the Pesach Tshuva Sifkat and Hay, Shem lo nimtz da treifa achshon as realis kaved lo batel. It depends when know the tarovis, when you find out about the shayla. If it gets mixed up with feathers and defeathered, and then you find out the shayla, it's treif. The only time you get grandfathered is when it's no da tarovis while it's still in the feathers. It's only grandfathered if no da tarovis while it's still in the feathers. So that's very, very important. Someone actually told me once that there was a certain chicken processing plant, I don't remember exactly the names or whatever, that the big problem was that, you know how chicken works on an assembly line, right? They shech the animal, they shech the chicken, put it on an assembly line, take it apart, et cetera, and then process it and eventually pack it up for your freezer. I don't know if it's Empire or someone else. Same idea. Doesn't matter. The problem is they're going to put the guts on one assembly line and the chickens on the other assembly line. What if the guts are going down one assembly line and one of the shaykhim notices, or mashkichim notices, there's a lung or a heart with a hole in it, or whatever trefas are happen sometimes uncommonly by chickens. You find one inner organ with a trefa in it, and now you know there's one traif chicken in the factory. And the one traif chicken traifs up the whole factory because it's realis kaved. So what did? They made it so that all the organs that you might find the chash of the traif with all get like processed and ground up or whatever, packed up, whatever happens to them, before the chickens are defeathered. That way, if anyone notices a traif in one of the organs, chickens still have feathers, they're bustles, Grant, know that's aerobis. While it still has feathers, it's batel. By the time they take off the feathers, all those organs are gone. So that way they don't have to worry about this mishal happening.
How are they even sure that the treifa happened before?
I'll look at Syria. It's just a theoretical case. Again, I'm not passing olach l'maisa here because I don't really know how factories run, and maybe I got the whole story. I could have gotten the whole story wrong because I don't know anything about chicken factories. But the halacha is still right. Right, so don't trust my story. It could be I totally misunderstood. But the point is true. The halacha is true. The actual story, it could have been like totally different details with the same point. That I don't remember.
Is Noda Tarobas an issue that you know that there was Isser in Heter, or that you know that things were mixed
in? No, Noda Tarobas means you know there's Isser mixed in. Not just you know the chickens are mixed. And anytime I see a pile of things, I know they're mixed. That's not Noda Tarobas. Noda Tarobas means I know there's Isser in there.
Meaning, so if I see stuff like some fat fall into my soup, and I assume it's Shuma. So
then it's not know that Harobas until your wife tells you it's Chalev. Your wife knows that there was Chalev on the counter. You know that the fat on the counter fell into the soup. Until you and your wife talk, which we generally recommend that you should do at least daily, then it's not know that Harobas. You have to know that there was Isser in the Heter. Okay, so that's a very, very important yesod. If something's in the pre-processing stage, like chicken with feathers, once it's batel, it's grandfathered. But it's not batel as soon as it gets mixed in. We can only say it's batel and grandfathered when it's no da tarovas. Just like we saw in the Gra and the Shach, they were only willing to rely on kama batel when it's no da tarovas. Likewise, we only rely on the fact that once it's batel, it's batel, the no da ha tarovas. So you have to know when the tarovas was no da. Okay. Very important to our. Now let's go back to the Mechaber. And he says, start again. Tana goes, no tzal shishar v'achiros bat la shari ein over uya liskabe lifnei ha orchim kimo shehi v'yavav pi shal ach shishar v'yishira no tzal. V'chein lo chashivu liskabe elam keini mivu sheles. It's not called uya liskabe unless it's cooked. V'chein kevesh sholem o chatikha gdoli yosu midai lo chashivu uya liskabe te'ein derech lita o te'oreach kevesh sholem o chatikha gdoli yosu midai. Likewise, a whole sheep or a piece that's too big is called ein realis kabe because you wouldn't put that in front of the orchim. Now, I'm not sure where to draw the line, meaning, you know, if you had a piece that was just too big for one serving, you might still put that in front of the orchim and he'll just take his piece from it. So I don't know, the roast coming out of the oven might decide, depend what size roast it is. But anyway, if you have the kind of piece that you don't serve on the table, a certain size piece that's pasnish to serve on the table, it's just too big. You're supposed to cut it up in the kitchen. The caterer is supposed to cut it up in the kitchen. If it's, sometimes caterers might cook such a big piece that it's pasnas to serve that piece. Then the Mechaber says that's not Rila's copy. The Mechaber takes the most makel shita. He takes the most makel shita. Anyone have a clue why he takes the most makel shita? Because chatzik Rila's copy, the whole idea of chatzik Rila's copy is drabbanan. So he might as well be makel. That's the Mechaber's actual reason. He says, if it's raw or if it's too big, even if it's so close to being Rila's copy, Asher Risham, not Rila's copy, and it's batel, big makel. Says v'yesh cholkin bechol zeh. Some people are cholek in all of this. Again, he's passing like the first day, right? I assume Spartan follow the first day. He says yesh stam v'yesh cholkin. I think most people assume he meant to pass like the stam, but the yesh cholkin is mechaber. Mechaber b'shem yesh cholkin. He says the Rush says everything is Rila's copy. He only brings him in a katzel l'katzel. The Rashban Ran says everything is not Rila's kavod until it's on your ready to go on the plate. The Rush says everything is Rila's kavod as long as it has potential. That's the 2 days brought by the Mechaber.
What if he wouldn't serve it to one person that way, but he's put it on as a serving to everybody, like a serving plate?
Yeah, so I think that's what I was saying before. I'm not sure what the poskim say. My intuition is that I think that would also be Rila's kavod if you would put it out in front of the guest on a serving plate. Yeah, as if you would put it out on the table in front of the guest, even if you wouldn't expect him to eat it all, I think that would still be Rila's kavod. You know, I think so.
What about fish? Especially like sushi or something like that that's not cooked? Is that as one of the kavod or not?
And if it doesn't have to be cooked, then it's Rila's kavod. Sure. Is a piece of sushi Rila's kavod? See, that's what I just don't know about, like, a piece of sushi, because a piece of sushi, well, a piece of sushi is, like, small. You wouldn't give someone a piece of sushi. You would give someone a piece of sushi like to taste, you know, but you wouldn't serve someone a piece of sushi. That's very small. Meaning, the classic Ein Rila's kavod is something small, right? That's what everyone agrees Ein Rila's kavod, but too small, right? That's like, pasha pshat, Ein Rila's kavod, too small. So, I don't know about sushi because the piece is too small, but maybe if we could come up with
like
something.
Like a filet, a salmon, I don't know.
No, a whole.
Then it's cooked, yeah.
Yeah, but if you had a raw salmon, then that's not Rila's kavod according to Mechaber. It's not ready to serve yet. The Ramah says, one second. Yeah. The Ramah says that v'cheino, again, we hold like the Ishcholkin, Milvad Tarnagolas Benotsasa the Mechoser Maiser Godol the Nogan Bashiba Tela says we all like the Ishcholkin except for Tarnagolas Benotsasa, which needs a big, very hard Maisa, meaning the Ramah, and this is how we would follow. I think everyone in our room is still Ashkenazic. Paskins like the Smak and like Rabbi Thomas quoted the Shari Dura. He says we Paskin anything's Rila's Kavi, if it's potentially Rila's Kavi, unless it requires a big Maisa Tircha. If it requires a big Maisa Tircha, like taking off the feathers, then it's called Ein Rila's Kavod. So we are almost the most mock opinion. That's how we would hold. Likewise, if you had, apparently you used to eat the head and the legs of certain animals. Maybe not like a big ox, but they were edible with the skin as long as you burnt off the hair. That's also a big Maisa. That's a hard thing to do. And that's called Ein Rila's Kavod. But as long as you cut off you burned off the hair or plucked out the feathers, that's called Rila's Kavod, even though it still needs salting. V'afilu keves shaling, ain't no batel. And even if it's a whole sheep and it needs cutting up, it's still not batel, so Rila's Kavod. Miu, okay, before we get to the end of the Ramah, let's just throw in some other ha'oros from the Nosa Kalim. What if you have a piece of meat that still needs to be skinned? What would be your intuition in that? Would the Ramah say that that's Rila's Kavod or not? Yeah, that's a big tirchos meat, or with the hide, right? If it still has the hide, it's still has the skin. I don't mean chicken with skin. Chickens you eat with skin. I mean, if you have a piece of beef with the skin, that the Nosa Kalim say that's for sure as much of a tirchos as plucking feathers. That would be Eina Ruuya Lehis Kabet. The Nosa Kalim also point out, even though the Ramah didn't mention cutting off the hooves, that's clearly not a big tircha, and that he would say is Ruyulis Kavit. Halacha l'maisa, we hold like the Ramah. So the chickens with the feathers, or the animal in the skin, or with the hair, although I don't think we do the burning off the hair nowadays anymore. The animal with the skin, or the chicken with the feathers, that's batel. But once it's de-feathered, and once it's, what do you call it when you take off the skin? Skinned, right? Once it's de-feathered, or is that what you call it? Yeah, or skinned, then it is ruilus kaveh, because it has potential to be ruilus kaveh without a big tircha, without a big maisa. Can we ever be makel? So, I think someone quotes the Sam Sofer here. Yeah, the Pesach Tshuva, Sivkat and Dalit, quotes of Sam Sofer that he says, Efsher, that the Prechadosh holds like the Mechaber, and therefore he says, Yesh, Makom Lahakel. Sam Sofer says, again, it's all the same as Makom Lahakel. If it's raw and too big, and you have another tzad lahakel, then and it's hefsim meruba. Then he finds a tzad lahakel. So like all these things, you know, there's always a tzad lahakel if you add things together. And these are the kind of sucking that you know have to go to real mori hara. But as a general rule, we hold like the Rambam. Agav, I guess two haras and the Nodi Huda. The Nodi Huda assumes if it's only taking out the gid, lachor, that's a big maisa, and that even the Rambam would admit. This all depends, of course, on whether the Kibud Akam and Shmei Kibud or not. The truth is, I didn't die. I'm not totally the cool in the Yehuda thing. Because why does he mention not salting? Who cares about not salting? You can serve it to a guy either way. So, okay. That's a different issue. The next, you know, 2.5 se'ifim deal with a lot of details which are not relevant. Why are they not relevant? Because only the principle is relevant. What did the Rama say? And, you know, we're not going to list all the different shitas. Oh, the Ramah says, Mi hu raglayim shel opos milvad ragli avas, at the end of Gimel, v'chein ragli behemadakim, dinos elu, but, however, the legs of all fowl except for geese, yeah?
I was like, where you said not salting, that should be...
The Ramah says not salting is still considered a realist copy. But it sounds like, because it's not such a big term, it sounds like the Vahavni would be in a realist copy. What's the having made rule this copy? You can still serve it to a guy. So it sounds to me lakula that Rambam would be assuming that if you could still only serve it to a guy, that would be rule this copy.
How does that fit with the Ramans if they said that if it's just us or Master John?
No, here he's talking about nevela that's not salted getting mixed in with shuta that's not salted. Huh. Right? So if the veil unsalted nevela gets mixed in with unsalted in Beis Lachor, why don't you just salt it? L'chora, well, there may be other, we'll get into the cooked bay's other answers. L'chora, in bay's only a case where you can't salt it. Let's say it was cooked with the dam. Right? Or it was, 3 days or whatever. But it was left 3 days, which we'll get to. But l'chora, over here, he's talking about where the isser is because of the dam. Here he's talking about it's nevela and shuta. Just both of them still in the dam, but can be salted. So he says, however, legs of all fowl except for geese, and legs of the sheep and goats in our countries, lo chashiv yiklal, v'telem, are not chashiv at all in their batel, because people don't consider them chashiv. Rosh al opel and chashiv batel. Likewise, heads of fowl are not chashiv, and they are batel. And the shach and the taz go into all kinds of details here. But I'm not going to go over the details, and we'll see why in a moment. In Dalit, he says, Shuman ha kinta ein ruilus kaveh. A certain fat on a certain part of the intestines of an animal is not ruilus kaveh. Aval or shuman, avaz mikra ruilus kaveh in a bottle. But the fatty skin of a geese, of a goose, is called ruilus kaveh and is not bottle. And again, the Nosei Kalim all discuss this, the Shach and the Taz of maybe it is, maybe it isn't, and all kinds of Marshal argues and this and that. But Lamaisa, we don't have to chazal the shitas because the Shach says in Siman Yud Gimel says Vakol Tali Rosein and Mori Mukhashiv Liskabo Oso Makom Lo Batel and Lav Batel says it doesn't really matter what the Marshal thought and the Ramah thought, right? It doesn't matter what was chashiv in the Ramah's time. It doesn't matter what was chashiv in the Marshal's time. It doesn't matter what was chashiv in the Shach and the Taz's time. All that matters is it chashiv in your time or not. If it's chashiv in your time and place, then it's chashiv. If it's not chashiv in your time and place, then it's not. What if you're not sure? V'miyesh safek, I assume he means even a very educated talmid chacham, an expert talmid chacham, still not sure. Azlina l'kula, and if you're not sure if it's really l'kula or not, then you go l'kula, assuming it's not chashiv in your dia.
but you know, it's mamish, you can't know. Then you go to Kula, because the whole principle for Dukhri Lus Kavi is Nidra Banam. The Taz says the same thing. The Shas says the same thing as cutting your bays, brings him a chlok, that Shuman Hakinta. He says, that doesn't matter what anyone held. Goes by Makkum's Vam. The Taz says the same thing as of cutting in Sivkut and Tess. He brings him a chlok, it's about intestines, B'nai Me'ayin. He says, we already know from the Shulchan Aruch later, Kol Pi Amakom Bazman. And he talks about what's true in his days, but you can go over and find what's true in everyone's time and place. The mice, it depends what's true in your time and place. Likewise in Sif Hei, Korkavan, Mechin Shar, B'nai Me'ayim, Ein Amurin Les Kavit, says the Korkavan. What exactly is English for a Korkavan?
Gizzard.
The gizzard, okay? The gizzard, and is gizzard the same as a crop?
No, they're two different organs.
Okay. The gizzard and all other intestines are not ruilus kaveh. The Gemara at one point goes so far as to say anyone who eats it is not a proper human being. But again, they know Sekilim of the same discussion here. And the Shach says, what about this kind of korkavan? What about that kind of korkavan? Brings a whole machlokes. And in the end he says, Ella da kol talufi amakam asban. So we got the point, hopefully, by now. Which terms? Lachora one's time is pretty clear. time? Yeah, the place is taka, a little unclear. What's the place? You know, is the place Grus or Beit Vegan or Yerushalayim or Israel? What's the Zman? What? Or, you know, or the small apartment building or the yeah, I don't think it depends subject. That's what you asked me before. I don't see a hint that it's... Everyone says makum is man. They don't say lefi ha'ish. Right? So I think it depends objectively in your place. Oh, what about what poor people do? So at a certain point, everyone knows poor people aren't mechavid orchid. You know? They're going to leave a boy, but that's not really mechavid. So what is a makum? That's an excellent question. It's hard to say. My intuition would be our makom and now is Israel. But I wouldn't say the same thing about the United States of America. But it's I'm not posking. Clearly I don't think I would say Woodmere is a makom and Cedarhurst is its own makom and Vukuli, or even the Five Towns is a makom and Brooklyn is another makom. I would say the New York metropolitan area is a makom. But again, that doesn't prove anything about Montana. Okay. Need some Ian, but I don't think it depends on the person. Oh, what do you do about what poor people are in this kabbet? Lech ora. I don't know. I mean, poor people maybe aren't mechabed orchid. I mean, I want to leave a boy. Chas v'shalom, I don't mean to criticize, but. No, that's because then they're going to give you a big piece of meat.
The first course is a tiny little piece of meat.
So that's Nainu Rilus Kavit.
That's
Nainu Rilus Kavit,
even though it's something they give you as a first course?
Yeah, I think if something's small, but you give it, like, again, it's very hard to draw the line, but just because people have these weird styles that they think they give you, like, a small thing, that's not Rilus Kavit, I don't think. If they would think that's a whole meal, then they'd be crazy, so it wouldn't be Rilus Kavit. But, you know, it, just because they have some strange, I think. That's a very subtle chilek.
It depends on where you live. It's not true. I mean, if it's a very ritzy place.
Right. There are differences between between Herzliya and Beitar. I don't know. I'm not sure. Not 100% sure. Maybe you can look up in the Bade, see if he says anything about it. What's a makom? No, it's an important question. Important question for Kultar Kula, not just this. Kultar Kula, a lot of things depend on the makom. What's a minig ha-makom? So obviously in some things, in minig ha-makom, I think clearly there's a different minig ha-makom in Herzli and Beitar and many things. But is this, if you're talking about minhagim? If you get Herzli and Beitar, I'm sure there's different minhagim in Beitar and in Vebrak, and there's different minhagim in, but over here, my intuition is we'd have a broader getter of makom. But I don't know. You have to be million.
We wouldn't follow like our minhag like by Yom Tov Shani.
Right. My intuition is that it depends where the meat is, not where the owner lives permanently. Correct. correct. It's cause I don't think it's a din in the gavra. I think it's a din in the chetza. What?
He?
Okay. Anyway, we're okay. We're walking a very thin line at this point. Fine line. Okay, weiter. One very, very important machlokes that comes off here, however, is in the Taz, Sivkat and Yud. The Taz and Sivkat and Yud quotes, the Isra'ahetra Shamagilia, maybe the Nechtach or Shal Avaz Lurtsuos, right? The Rama says the fatty skin of a goose, that's realist kavi. Is that gribinous? I think it's gribinous. And that's taka, very chashuv Michael. Again, some of us, like my modernish Americans, think it's gross, but proper Europeish people would consider it very chashuv Michael. So, but what if you chopped it up into little pieces? He says, batal chashuvuso, the tama rishal sham, kevish nechtra in chashuv meza tzate chashuv vishle musa. He says, what are you talking about? He says, if the pieces aren't chashuv, if the little pieces aren't chashuv, then why would the big piece be chashuv? So what do you mean? Of course it's chashuv. If it's chashuv when it's one piece, it's chashuv when it's cut into 10 pieces. And the Taz even adds, "Gamlin is daiti yipale." The ikker kifur avz achshu chodon sol tadiyah. The ikker way to be mechaber people is to cut into little pieces and fry them, etc. And the Taz in the end, the ain lahakol zekain nira lanias daiti. Right? The Isra Heter says if you chop them into little pieces, it's butel. The Rav Marshal says it's still chashuv. What's the yisod of the machlokes? This is a very crucial machlokes. Go back to meatballs. Are meatballs real as kabet? Well, yeah, you can serve someone a plate of meatballs, but you can't serve someone one meatball. What if it's real as kabet if you put many pieces together, but each piece is not real as kabet? Do you go by each chaticha? Say, well, each piece is too small to be a kabet? Do you say, no, as a dish, sacha kol, it's real as kabet if you put them together? So that's not closing the marshal. The Isra'ahetra. The Isra'ahetra says, if each piece is too small, it's ain't a realist kabed. Even if you, no matter, I don't care if you fill a whole room with meatballs, each meatball is ain't a realist kabed. Each piece is ain't a realist kabed. While the Marshal says, no, if you put the pieces together, that's called a realist kabed. The Taz is machmer on this. However, the Shach, the Kruz, and Kesef says, lahakel, and I think the later Achronim follow the Shach. He says, because you go by the Chaticha. We don't care if the food is. We care if the chaticha is really kabbid. Each chaticha. So again, we have the Isra Heter and the Shach who are Mako versus the Marshal and the Taz who are Machmer. The Achronim assume like the Shach that if you have something, let's say it's big enough that if you put a few together, that's kavod. That's not realist kabbid. It's only realist kabbid if one piece is realist kabbid. If it's one unit, if you have to put together many pieces, that's not realist kabbid. That's why meatballs, are, again, not the Israeli kind of meatballs here, but regular American meatballs are not realist kabbid because you have to put a lot of them together to kabbid someone. One meatball would be, I don't know, would be insulting someone to give them one meatball. So likewise, a lot of things might be very kabbidic if you add a lot of pieces together. General Tso's chicken, right? If you put a lot of them together, that's kabbidic. But each piece is not realist kabbid, so that would be, we'd be make only say that's butthole, it's not realist kabbid. Very nogei lemaisa. The Tanis Gan Yir Aleph quotes this big kula from the Maharshal, which we don't hold like. He says that I don't know, it's hard for me to figure out the exact case, but he says that anything which is not in its best form, meaning if you took something away from it and it's not in its best form, so it's a realist copy, but it would have been better if it had been bigger. That's not realist copy. His example here is the. There's the breast of the goose is very realist kabed, but if you take off the skin, it's still realist kabed, but it was better with the skin. It says, well, if it's relatively not realist kabed, that's not realist kabed anymore. That's a wild kula. Taka, it's realist kabed. Who cares that it could have been more realist kabed if you had left it bigger? Marshal is making on this. We are not chosh for this at all. We assume, no, you look at the piece by Shor Sham. I don't care if relative to how the next guy serves it, it's not realist kabbid. If objectively it's realist kabbid, it's realist kabbid.
Don't be fooled by the fact that Pesach Tshuva quotes the Prichadash, who agrees with Marshall. He's not really agreeing with Marshall. He's just saying in his Makaman's mind, this type of food wasn't really scabbard. But he's not really agreeing with Marshall. L'chor, we disagree with Marshall, and he has a wild kula. Well, if without the skin, it's rudeless copy, but not as good, that's bottle. We don't hold like that. We say, don't compare it to what your neighbor's serving. If it's rudeless copy, it's rudeless copy. The, in Se'if Vav, the Mechaber says, Ha de birya v'chatich or yudeless copy globit butli, Davka ba'odam shleimim. When are birya and chatich or yudeless copy not bottle? Only when they are whole and intact. Avol nechtiku, but if they were broken, right? You have a chatich or yudeless copy, piece of schnitzel, that's chatich or yudeless copy. And the piece of schnitzel gets cut in half. Half a schnitzel is not rudeless kabi. If it gets broken in half, or a birya, right, a bug gets broken in half, that's no longer rudeless kabi. Onis raskwach nevda to rasan, or if they become smushed until they lose their tzura, which most achronim assume this means, let's say it didn't get broken in half, but it just got smushed, right? You have a birya, let's say you have a, a mouse, and the mouse is intact, but it's so smushed that it just looks like a big lump. That's considered to be not a birya anymore, and that's not re'uya lehis kaved. But le desu lo chashivik, it lost its chashivas. The Shach points out in Sivkot and Tezvav that the principle is the same. If it gets broken or smushed and loses its chashivas, then it lost its chashivas. That's balabatish. He just points out, there's also balabatish, that you have to apply the rules different to birya and chatzich rilis kabi. Birya is sort of an objective kind of thing. It is a birya. So if it loses a piece, or if it gets totally smushed, then it's not a birya chashiv anymore. Chatzich rilis kabi, like, it's not automatic that if it gets cut, it's not rilis kabi anymore. It depends how big it is after it gets cut. If you have a piece of schnitzel and it's cut in half, that's not rilis kabi anymore. But if you have a 500 gram steak, is that how they measure it here? Right? That's like the what Yeshiva Bachman gets. And it gets cut into a 300 gram steak, that's still realist kabi, Lamaisa. You know, if it gets smushed, it just depends whether now it's realist kabi or not. So, I don't think this necessarily, you know, even needs to be mentioned, but needs to be mentioned, that it's not a halakha almost to be seen on. A davar chashiv that gets cut, that gets broken, loses chashivas. No, you have to look at the situation. If a birya gets broken, it lost chashivas. If a chatzich or yudeless kabi gets broken, it usually lost its chashivas, but that depends how much is left. Even in a birya, the berheitev and the other achronim bring down from the Knesset Gedola, that even in a birya, I don't know, let's say you cook a mouse, and obviously a few little tiny pieces fall off, that's still considered a birya. Meaning, you know, if a little falls off, but not anything important, just the normal, like, obviously some molecules fall off all the time. Anytime something molecules fall off. If some pieces fall off, but it's not really missing anything important, it's just that that's the way of food, that sometimes a, you know, tiny chip breaks off. That's still considered a birya. Or the same for a rudeless kabed. Right, if some falls off, but what's left is a rudeless kabed, it's still a rudeless kabed. So, just don't take this mechaber too far. What he says is generally true. If it gets all smushed or broken, then it loses chashivas. But you have to look at, did it lose, if it's a birya, did it lose chashivas or just lost a few flakes? Like what happens when you cook things. If the chatzich rudeless kabi, did it lose chashivas? Or did it just lose its extra size, but it's still big enough to be chashiv? That all depends. If you start with a 300 gram steak, and it gets broken, you're going to lose your chashivas. If you start with a 500 gram steak, then you have a lot of, you have a wide margin of error there. If you start with half a chicken and it gets broken in half and you have two quarters, then obviously they didn't lose their chashivas. If you start with a quarter of chicken, right? If you start with the white meat and it lost the flegel, probably still has chashivas. If it got, obviously the piece got broken in half, then it wouldn't. The flegel probably lost its chashivas, but the other piece didn't.
So, is the criteria of shleimim, is that also subjective? That's always going to be subjective?
Yeah. By birya, shleimim is not subjective. Shleimim means shleimim, except for what usually happens if you cook something, it loses a few flakes.
But what if it's something like a schnitzel, meaning schnitzel is clearly a davar
you know, shalom, it's not like a piece of meat where I can cut it in half. I know that it's cut in half. Everyone knows it's cut in half. Mm-hmm. Is that possible that in a certain place that would still be considered, still be considered kashrut? Or that
yeah, maybe there are places where they serve half schnitzels. You know, it all depends on the place. Maybe there's some places where, I don't know, the chickens are in short supply and they serve half schnitzels. I don't know, you know.
But then they would cut the original filet in half before they breaded it. Here, it's like, you know that it was cooked like this.
Right, that's when you have a double piece of schnitzel and it breaks in half, and it's really still the size of a schnitzel, it's just, it's not breaded on one side.
Right.
And let me just dive the argument. You see how these can be tricky. I think, yeah. Then he says, "Va'afilu in nisrasku la'achar shenis arbu maheter." Va'afilu la'achar shenoda tarobis. Remember, we said if when it got, if originally it was noda tarobis when it wasn't chashuv, then it's mutter forever, even if it becomes chashuv. We don't say the opposite. If originally got bought to and know that Harobus when it was Chashuv, then it's not grandfather to Isser. Only Heter grandfathers. Right? If at the time of know that Harobus, and then you have later. So if originally it was not Ruulis Kabed, right? And then later became Ruulis Kabed, then it's still Mutter, it's grandfather. That's what we learned in the last set. But if originally it was Ruulis Kabed, and then it gets broken and it's not Ruulis Kabed, even though it was known that Tarobus was Ruulis Kabed, it was a Chalos Isser, that Isser is not grandfather. That is also Mutter. It can become Mutter once again. The Isser doesn't stay forever. There's no like Hanan here. Right? Why is there no Hanan? Because remember, this only applies to Yavish B'Yavish, right? The Ramah says no Hanan, Yavish B'Yavish. Hanan has only been seen as Tam. Hanan, Yavish B'Yavish, no Hanan. So even though Taka, we know that Tarobus and it was all Usser. If it later becomes Mutter, it's Mutter. Now, of course, what might someone be tempted to do after we learn this halacha? If one treif steak got, I had 100 kosher steaks and one treif steak got mixed in with them, now I lost a lot of money. So, what am I going to do now? Chop them all up. Make hamburgers instead. I'll have a little hefzid. But I'll grind them all up and make hamburgers, or make steak sandwiches, right? I'll make steak sandwiches based on the kuzza kesef, right? Little strips, or pepper steak, or whatever. I'll work something out. So, is that a good etzah? Because, this is actually the example in the Mishnah of Eivat Manish L'Chachila, that if you have, that was a different Dabar Chashem, it goes a perech, very fancy nuts that got some trade, got mixed with kosher, you can't break open the nuts and make them lose their chashivas and nivata. Right, you can't break it to make it bottle. That's called aim about l'nisul chachila. That's what the mechaber is. And what if you did? What if you did it? What if you broke them? That if it was mazid, knasiyuf shogeg not, which is exactly what the mechaber says. V'hu shenis rasku shalov miskavim levatila iser. When if it gets broken, does it lose chashiv and become bottle? If you were in a shogeg. Aval in this kavin lekach aser lemerasig mushalovachin mishrasig mishfilo, just like Zimin Sadi test. But if you did it b'meizid bezlos hachila, it's aser for you and for the person you did it for. Okay, that's just an application of what we saw in Zimin Sadi test. There are no conceptual chidushim. There are mudges. And v'ein chiluk b'nis arv b'minam oshalov b'minam. This is a machlokas between most poskim the Isser v'heter. The Isser v'heter says a biryan chatich rulis kabed is only usher if it's bin b'mino. But the Shulchan Aruch and most Rishonim are not like that, because they said if a bug gets mixed with vegetables, it's not batel, even though it's eino mino. We paskin, who cares mino, eino mino? Dabar chashuv, not batel. Truth is, the Isser v'heter svar is hard to figure out. But lemaisa, we reject the Isser v'heter. We said bein b'mino bein shalom mino. Obviously, it's going to be hard to have a hate. It's going to be hard to have a case of a chatur realis kabe getting nisar of shalom b'mino. What do you mean? A big steak? How can it be Nazar with two apples? You know? But Lu Yitzuri, you had a case. We'll see later on. The postman will give us a case. You had, a quarter of chicken and a steak and a salmon. Right? Not a salmon. And a schnitzel. Chicken, schnitzel, and steak. And, right, the person who sent it to you sent you a letter saying,
One of them is Nevela, and it is, and then the end of the letter got burned off, and the person died while it was in transit. So you know one of them is Treif, and you don't know which. It's Mimbish Eino Mino. Maybe you should do, you know, it's, I don't know, it's chicken, steak, and whatever. And cheese, right? Chol of Treifa. One of them is Mimbish Eino Mino, and you don't know. That's Hatichu Rilis Kav Mimbish Eino Mino. It's a weird case, but we'd be macro on that. Who gives Mino Eino Mino? The Tichu Rilis Kav is not bottle.
Going back to what you said before, if something at the time of Notice Barovis was not Reli Skavin, it became not Reli Skavin.
It's Mutter.
It's Mutter, right. And if it was Reli Skavin, not, then it became not Reli Skavin. Then it's Mutter. But what if
it became Reli Skavin again? Still Mutter.
Right.
Still Mutter. Right, you have a steak. And know that Tarovis, it was kosher. Then it gets cut in half, then you have a new technology to weld it together. Still mutter. If Zion says...
What if you said, like, the example you said, you take steak and grind it up and make it into hamburgers, and now the hamburger is particularly stubborn in its own right. So would that negate what it was before? I mean, getting it chopped up?
If it was no the taros while it was chopped up, then I think it would still be mutter. Once it's mutter, it's always mutter. That's the rule. Once it's mutter at a time when you know the issue, it's mutter. I don't care if you knew the issue beforehand. Any time it's not chashev, in a time post-node the tarovis, it's mutter forever. That's a great shaila. What if you have a steak and it breaks, you have one trace steak, two kosher steaks, and all of them are accidentally cut by some machine that cut them 90-10. So there are three still pretty big steaks and three little pieces. Logically, you might say the three big steaks that are left are treif and the three little pieces are mutter. But it can't be. That is a great shaila that comes up in Siman Kuf Yud. We'll wait till then. That, as you can imagine, is one of these big sort of philosophical lumdish ones about Bir, Hakara, these kinds of things. But we'll say that Siman Kuf Yud will be addressed explicitly in the Shachan Taz. Not exactly this case, but the same principle. Okay, great question. Just to quickly finish up, the imnechtecha chaticha achas, ein tolen lomar shall iser nechtach umisbatel v'yukula mutaros ela osho shenechtecha bilvad muteres mimanevshach imi shall iser av kula mutaros meina shall iser av muteres v'harehi muteres. So what if you have, again, one treif steaks and 99 kosher steaks. So you have now a mixture of 100 chivulis to alakavi, not bottle. They're all treif. So what if one steak gets cut in half by accident? So if one steak gets cut in half, now again, assuming that Taz points out, he used one particular example to be confusing. If they're all cooked together, you have to make sure that there's no iser of tam, right? So if they're all cooked together, then you need at least 60 steaks. If they're not cooked together, three steaks would work. So either you have three steaks not cooked together, or 61 steaks cooked together. And the only problem is there was yavish b'yavish, chatichu l'skavi not batel, and one of them gets chopped up. We can't be made to say, oh, the iser was chopped up, so it's okay. Rather, we don't know which was chopped up. So what do we do if we don't know which was chopped up? The ones that are still whole are usr. But the one that got chopped up is mutter b'manevshach. What's the b'manevshach? If the one that got chopped up is a mutter steak, then it's mutter. And if the one that got chopped up is an usr steak, then the other steak's not realist kavin, and everything's mutter. So we manashah. Either this steak is mutter, or all the steaks are mutter. So at least I can eat this steak. Very clever. We manashah again. I have 10 steaks. One of them gets ground up by accident. So we manashah. If it's mutter, it's mutter. And if it's usr, it's mutter, because it's batel. So I can eat it.
Wait, what's it batel in?
It's batel to the other steaks.
But you only have one steak now.
No. I have 10 steaks. One treif, 9 kosher. And 9 of them are still sitting here on the table. One of them accidentally got ground up.
Right.
Just ground up.
Yeah, that might be the...
What do you mean? If it's ground up, then it's not chashuv.
Right, but it might still be the other steak.
But if the small piece of steak... But if it's the treif steak, then it's batel now. So it's not treif anymore.
Batel and what?
Batel to the other 9.
There's small pieces and big pieces, it's not batel.
Sure it is. Why can't it be batel? You really think it can't be batel? What if, hold on, what if I have, forget Marilis Kabi, let's say I have meatballs, some of them are cut in half, some of them aren't, and one is treif. You're not going to say it's bottle, doesn't matter what's the difference, it's cut in half or not, it's still bottle.
Why can't it be bottled just to more pieces? So one steak gets shredded, then if it's treif, it's bottled the other steaks. They don't have to be in the same shape to be bottled. Just has to be that you can't tell which is which. Bittel doesn't mean they have to look the same. Usually they have to look the same to have bittel, or else you should know which is which. But there can be bittel. One treif meatball, 9 kosher meatballs, and some of the meatballs get chopped in half. It's still bittel. They're all nichnas besafik. As long as nichnas besafik, there's bittel. So many manavshach again. One treif gets sliced. The guy's cook accidentally slices one steak into little strips for pepper steak. So we say me manavshach. If that's the mutter steak, it's mutter. If that's the other usser steak, now it's mutter because it's bottle. So it's mutter me manavshach. He just ends with the filu nechtiku ruban ein tolen lomar sheiser me arov shenechtu kol nechtachs mutashes lemasur. What if you have 10 steaks and 6 get chopped up? Then can we say al-pirov, the iser is chopped up in its bottle? You might have thought yes, but we paskin no. You can't assume the iser was chopped up. You can only eat the chopped ones, you can't eat the other ones. Why can't you assume the iser was chopped up? The Taz explains. Because on the one hand you'll say, 6 were chopped up, the odds are the iser was chopped up. But on the other hand, we say a different story. We say, each one that was chopped up, the odds are it was heter, because it's 90% heter. So the first one that was chopped, odds are it's heter. The second one that was chopped, odds are it's heter. The third one that was chopped, odds are it's heter. The fourth, fifth, sixth, each one that was chopped, the odds are that it's heter. So we can't assume the iser was chopped up. Okay, there's a lot of lumpness in terms of why we should go one way or the other, but we don't have time for that now. Ches and Tess are about sort of a side point that just comes up agav orcha of our sugya. And we're not going to get into the details, but Ches says, korkvan shenirmtza nakov, right? You shecht 10 chickens and take off the feathers. And then you find one gizzard with a hole in it. Now one chicken is treif, now they're all going to be treif. What do you do? Tak, it's a big hefset. So what do? You see that it's the agav orcha, right? Because if chatichu rilis kabed would be bottle, then you wouldn't be bothering, then it would be easy, just their own mutter. But tak, they're all usher. Is there any way to save them? So there is. Right? If there's one korkavan, all the chickens are mixed, and one of them is treif, because you found a treif korkavan. Midam and shuman shema korkavan, l'shuman atarnigol, l'shomakam chibra korkavan. You take the korkavan, and it's like a puzzle. You put the korkavan in each of the 10 chickens and see which ones it matches. Right? There's fat in the korkavan, there's fat in the chicken where the korkavan was cut off. And if you can find the match, then you know which one is treif, and the other ones are still kosher. So you can save your tarovis by solving the puzzle and finding the match. And if it's an exact match, then you can say this is a treif chicken and the others are kosher. Because you might have had a havamina that we don't trust you. Maybe it looks like a good match, but it's not. We answer no, we do trust you. If it looks like a good match, then that's the match. The CSI Yoridea. Test. Rosh Keves. The same case is you shechted a bunch of sheep, and one head was found with a hole in the membrane around the brain, let's say, and it's treif, or water, or whatever. And you try to like a puzzle. I mean, the first one was you see if it looked the same. Here it's like a puzzle piece. You put the head onto all the headless sheep and see which one it fits on. So, and one of them looks the same and fits perfectly. You could rely on that and say this is the treif sheep and the other ones are kosher. There's a big deal in the Taz about exactly what does it mean, domos umechuvanos yafe. Right? Domos, they look the same and mechuvanos yafe, it fits. The Taz is machron to say you have to check both the look and the fit. He said, really, you could rely on just one, but since you can check both, you have to check both the look and the fit. Is it the same color, like hair and skin, and does it fit? You should check them both if you can. And then he just ends with an Isra Heter, and that's, we won't go into all the details, but the Isra Heter says, of course, what does the Isra Heter say? Nowadays, you don't have to read it, you can predict it. Nowadays, Ari?
We're not
in knowing which parts of animals match, so therefore the Isra Heter says, nowadays you should only be soulmate if it's a total obvious fit here and misfit there, if it's very, very clear. You shouldn't just rely on it seems. Nowadays, we're not such experts, so it has to be totally nicker. And a gadol, it has to be a hefresh gadol, it has to be a big difference. So now the vermachmir, even if it seems to fit one and look like one and not the other, vermachmir, we're not experts unless it's a big difference, like it totally fits here and totally doesn't fit there. We're only soulmates if it's a big difference. No, you mean you could do a DNA test, you know? Right, right. Yeah, I mean, the answer is, in a Hanami, if, you're right, if you have some great test, then maybe. But you have to, you know, we have to see the each case separately. Okay, so much for Chatiru Rilis Kavit. Any questions?
Do you have to match it against all of the ones that you're...
You see, that's a din. If you're looking at Chronim here, the Pisei Tshuva, I think, deals with it, or someone else, says you have to, at least if you have all of them, you have to match to all of them. And if you don't have all of them, then the question is whether we rely on our expertise. Okay, one very important announcement. You might have noticed that this week we started to hasten the pace a bit. That's because it was pointed out to me that we're never going to actually finish anything at Beit Binyamin until now. So now that it's already, past Tu B'Shvat, and we've been learning since Rosh Chodesh Elul, so our skills at learning Yoredeya are, you know, light years ahead of where they were in Rosh Chodesh Elul. So I feel that we can go a little quicker. And, you know, if it means I don't have to go into every single detail, then I think that's perfectly fine. So I made us a schedule for what we have to learn from the Wednesday to the Tuesday of each week. When it says the Parsha, it doesn't mean that Sunday to Thursday. It means the previous Wednesday to Tuesday. So, for example, Yisro, Kuf to Kuf Aleph, we're done. Then we can start Kuf Beis to half of Kuf Gimel. Simen Kuf Gimel. So please take a schedule on your way out. I'll leave them with Yonah. You may want to pass on your way out. And we're going to have to keep the pace, whether we like it or not, because, we have to eventually finish Hilchos Tarovos. And not only do we have to finish Hilchos Tarovos, but there's many other things we have to learn. So please try to be machmen on that, and I will try to be machmen on that.